Teshuvah in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Samach. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Dali Mendelssohn, Lois Hershkowitz, Leah Hinda, Bas Yaakov Yehuda Leib. We continue to learn for the safety and success of all the Chayalim. They should be safe. They should be successful. Bring back the Chatufim. Everyone should be healthy. All those in need of a refuah shleimah should have one, b'mehera, and there should be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin at the last line of Nun Tesamud Beis with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ein ma'orvim peiros b'peiros. One is not allowed to go when you're selling something to cheat people by selling them different combinations of peiros. As Rashi tells us, Bal habayis sh'omer peiros so de ploni animo chaloch. If he tells you, I'm selling you peiros from this field, and kach v'kach soin, and this is what the cost is, and this is a prestigious field. So lo yarvenu b'peiros so de charis. And he's not allowed to then mix in with fruits from another field, because you're cheating the person. They think they're getting produce from field A, which they know is a good field, and you're throwing in produce from field B, field C, that's not as high quality. And this is true, afilu chadoshim b'chadoshim. This is even if they're the same quality. New grains on new grains, so therefore, you're dealing even with the same quality. You're not allowed to do this, and certainly, vein tzorech lomar, as you turn to samachom and aleph, vein tzorech lomar chadoshim b'yishanim. And certainly, you can't go and sell what people are expecting to get yishanim, which normally Rashi tells us are higher quality in terms that you can go and get more flour from them. The top Rashi tells us, Pasach limkar lo yishanim. They arranged that he would sell him older grains, so lo yarev behem chadoshim. You're not allowed to go and mix in with them newer grains. Why? Shai yishanim yiveishim. The older grains are dried out, and therefore v'osin kemach yosim and chadoshim. They make more flour than the newer grains. So therefore, you're actually cheating the person in this situation. Even you're not allowed to sell them if they're the same level, they're both old or they're both new. But certainly you can't go and arrange to go and sell them the old ones, which have more produce, more yield, and give them new grains instead. That is not allowed. That's actual cheating. And then the emesamru, the Gemara is going to tell us that when it says emesamru, that means it's the halacha. Some suggest it means it's the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. The emesamru, in fact, they said, b'yayin, in regards to wine, heitiru la'orev kosher v'rach. In regards to wine, you can mix a kosher, which is, Rashi tells us, a more mishubach type. Kosher mashbiach esarach. The older wine is better, and it can go and improve a younger wine. So in regards to wine, if you would arrange to go and sell rach wine, newer wine, a milder wine, if you wish. So you're allowed to go and put in the better wine into that. Why? Mipnei shu mashbichu, because it makes it better. As Rashi tells us, kosher mashbich is a rach. The kosher wine, the harsher wine, is better and improves the softer wine. Lefikach, pasaki morach. Therefore, if you arrange to sell him this milder wine, so ma'aribo kosher, you're allowed to go and put into it some kosher wine. That is allowed because you're improving it. You're not cheating him. You're actually making it better for him. And there's no reason that you're hurting him in this situation. So the Mishnah says, b'yemesamru, the halacha is, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, you can make such a mixture. That's not called cheating. However, then the Mishnah tells us, ein ma'arvim shimrei yayin b'yayin. The Gemara is going to explain that this means that you're not allowed to go and mix other shmorim. Shmorim are the sediments, the dregs at the bottom of the barrel. So you can't take from barrel A and go mix it into barrel B, or from barrel B and go mix it into barrel A. I will no sin lower shmorim, but you are allowed to go and take the sediment, the shmorim, from barrel A, even though they're not mixed in, and actually allowed to go and remix them, put them back into barrel A, and the world will explain this discussion in a little bit more detail. Mishnah continues and says, Mishinis arev mayim b'yeno, if you added water to your wine, you diluted your wine. So loyim karen b'chanus elim kein hodio. You're not allowed to go sell it to a storekeeper. This storekeeper is selling it directly to the customers. So in that situation, you're only allowed to go and tell him, listen, I'm selling you diluted wine, as long as you inform him. So he will be able to tell any person who buys from his store, listen, this is wine that's diluted already. So don't pay the premium that you pay for undiluted wine. So you're paying for diluted wine. However, lo litagor, but to a wholesaler, you're not allowed to go and sell afal pi shahodio to this person. He's going to sell it to other people, and they're not going to go and taste it, and they're not going to see necessarily that it's a diluted wine. So you're not allowed to go and tell him this, even if you tell him, I'm selling you diluted wine, because she'eino ela liramos bo, because he's not going to tell anybody. We're suspect here that he's going to cheat the people that he's selling it to, and they're going to think they're buying undiluted wine. They're not tasting it directly. They're buying it in larger quantities, and therefore, he's going to cheat them. So therefore, you can't sell it to such a middleman, a wholesaler here, even if you tell him, I'm selling you diluted wine. As opposed to when you sell it directly to the storekeeper, who's going to sell it directly to individuals who are going to taste it. So therefore, there is no concern as long as you inform him that it's diluted wine. So he'll know, and he'll sell it to the people as diluted wine, and they'll pay the appropriate price for it. The Mishnah continues and says, Markum shenagu lahatin mayim biyayin, in a place where the custom was that the storekeeper would go and sell diluted wine, so then, yatilu, they're allowed to go and sell this diluted wine, as we'll see, in the normal proportions that the dilution would normally be. If they normally diluted a certain amount, so then you're allowed to dilute it that certain amount. Everybody knows that. If the proportion is higher or lower, whatever the locale normal custom is, you're allowed to go and do that. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, HaTagor, a professional salesman, no tail mehe granos. So this tiger has from a number of different places that he buys wheat. So he's allowed to go and purchase the wheat from a number of different places. No tail mehe granos. He can go buy from five, let's say, people. Five, it means he buys from a whole bunch of different people who are farmers who are selling him stuff, and he lumps them all together into his silo. But no saying lesoch migura achas, and he puts it into his silo. And everybody knows that since he is a merchant in this type of business, that he's not buying from one person. And everybody knows that he's getting a mixture of different farmers' produce, and he's selling mixtures, and everybody knows that, so therefore he's allowed to do so. And likewise, Mehe Gitos, a person who's a wholesaler for wine, is allowed to go and take wine from five different people. Again, the number five is not important. It means from a lot of different people. And he can put it into one barrel. He can go and mix these wines because, again, everybody knows he's a wholesaler. He's buying either as a farmer grain for many different people and mixing them all together, or he's buying wine from many different sources and he's mixing it all together. That's allowed because everybody knows that. However, but he has to be careful, as Rashi says in Dibur Maaser Shlo Yiskaven, lahotzi kol liknos harov mimakom mishubach la'aribo mimakom acher. If he's claiming, oh, I only buy grade A, I only have the highest quality, and everybody says, oh, he's buying only from, let's say, field A or farmer A, and then he goes and mixes it in from other people, so then he's cheating people because they're all expecting to get the peros or the wine from a specific farm, and in fact, he's cheating them and he's selling it from different farms. So basically, the Mishnah is just giving us a lot of examples in business where you're potentially capable of cheating other people, so it tells you don't do this. Again, the importance of not cheating people at business. And this is, coming to the conclusion of this beautiful parak Hazav, and it's finalizing up some things that we haven't yet talked about fully. Gemara starts off and says, Tanu Rabban, we learn the following brisa. Ein sorech lomar chadoshos me'arba v'yishonos mishalosh. You don't have to tell me. That's the girsa that we have. There are many different girsas over here. We just follow the girsa that we have, nice and simple. You don't have to tell me that the halach is that you're not letting go and arrange to sell people the newer grains, which again, we said, don't produce as much flour. So you had arranged to sell the newer for four saw for every seller, and the older ones, the Yishanos, you'd arrange to sell for three saw for every seller. In other words, the newer ones are cheaper. There, you can get four for the price of $1, and the older ones, you sell for three for the price of $1. So the older ones are better. The newer ones are worse. So in that situation, you certainly can't cheat the people. You can't, well, I arrange to go and buy the older ones, which are more expensive, and instead you throw in newer ones. So of course you can't do that. However, it tells us in the Brisa, El Afilu, where you think the person is benefiting, Chadoshos Bishalosh, where the newer ones you're selling at a more expensive price of three for a seller. And the Yishanos, the better ones, you're selling at a price of Me'arba for a seller. So you're actually now going to give him the newer ones, which are more expensive than the older ones in this situation, and you would think that you're benefiting the person, he's still not allowed to do this. Why? Because the person here specifically wanted to get the type that he was getting. So in this situation, he wanted to get, let's say, the more expensive new ones, and you think you're doing him a favor by giving him the better, albeit cheaper, older ones. No, he wants them to last a long period of time. He wants to specifically get the new ones so they won't spoil on him. The older ones will spoil faster. And he specifically wanted the newer ones. So even though you think you're doing him a favor, you're not letting go and mix. You have to give the person what he asked for because you don't understand fully why they want it. Just because you think there's a financial advantage to the guy, you're giving him more expensive stuff and he's only paying for the less expensive type. No, but he wanted bedavka the less expensive older ones, and you're giving him the more expensive newer ones, even at the lower price, but he didn't want the newer ones, he wants the old ones. So again, the Bryce is basically telling us, the person has to get what he's expecting to get. And you can't say, well, I'm not hurting him financially. You may be hurting him in other ways. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Emes Amar, again, we had said, this is the halacha, as the Gemara will now tell us, or some even say it's halacha Moshe Sinai. The Emes Amar, the Yayin, in regards to wine, you are allowed to go and mix in the higher quality, the kosher wine with the rach wine. He threw l'arev kosher b'rach, why b'nei shum mashpichel, because he makes it better. Now that was the whole statement, so that's why the word v'chule over here are in parentheses, because we're not going on to the rest of the Mishnah. Okay. What does this mean? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar tells us what I just said, Ado Amra. Rashi says when it uses the word Ado, it means Hada. So this beats to tell us, Kol B'Emes Amru, whenever it tells us in the Mishnah, the Emes Amru, so this means Halachi. This is the way that we paskin. Again, some suggest that it means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Continues, says Amar Rabbi Nachman, Ubein Hagito Shonob. However, this was only said during the time that you're actually pressing the wine, in the wine presses, in the Gat, because the other times of the year, it's not good to have these wines mixed. It's only when you're freshly making them in the gas that the kosher wine is good to mix with the rach wine. It improves it. But at other times of the year, it does not. The Gemara says, that's not what we do nowadays. But in the times of the Gemara, it says, that he would have mixed this kosher wine with the rach wine, even not during the pressing season, even not when they're fresh grapes that are being pressed into wine. So how are they allowed to do that? It seems to be detrimental, according to Rav Nachman. So how are people going against what Rav Nachman says is the halacha? So the Gemara gives two terutz. The first one is Omer HaPapa, because because as long as people are aware of it, it's not called cheating. Buyer beware. So as long as the buyer is one, so he can say, listen, I mix kosher with rach. If you want to buy it, well, this is the price. If you don't want to buy it, then go buy it from somebody else. So as long as they inform people, they can't be, oh, no. Cheating is by definition when you're cheating them. But if you're saying, listen, this is what the price is. I'm giving you kosher wine mixed in with rach wine. Be aware. And if you still want to buy it, you're going to, hey. So then Rav Papa says, there's no problem in doing so because Rav Nachman said that you're only allowed to mix it kosher v'rach when you're not informing them. But if you're informing them, you can do it at any time of the year. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Acha, b'rei Ravika. Rav Acha, who's the son of Ravika, he says teretz number two, Omar, Hamani, what are we talking about over here? Whose opinion is this? This is Rabbi Acha. It's Rabbi Acha's opinion that he taught in the following brisa, the Tanya, Rabbi Acha matir b'dover hanitam. Rabbi Acha is basically saying similar to what Rav Papa said, except he's not as befeirish. Rav Papa said, as long as they're aware of it. Rabbi Acha says, they'll of course be aware of it because nobody buys wine from the store without tasting it. They don't have bottled wines today. You walk into the store, you have a sealed bottled wine, and you just buy it off the shelf because there's a standardization, there's an expectation of what the quality is of each wine. It says it on the label, tells you how much alcohol is in there, tells you how sweet it is, etc. They didn't have that. You went to an unlabeled barrel of wine that you had no idea what its contents were. So before you bought it, it's, listen, I'm going to buy you, 10 quarts over here of this wine. So let me taste it. So you would taste it, and therefore you would tell what type of quality it was. So even if there was kosher mixed in with rach, well, you would say, yeah, I like the taste of this wine. I don't like the taste of this wine. I'm willing to pay this price for this wine. I'm not willing to pay the price for the wine. So therefore, it's not called cheating. So therefore, Rav Acha Brei Ravika basically says, again, there's no onah. How, that's why ha'idna, the karma arve, shalom bein agitos, why are they allowed to do this? So either like Rav Papa, because he told them, or like Rav Acha Brei Ravika, because they could tell. And therefore, it was their choice. They weren't being cheated. Then we quote the Mishnah again. And again, the word v'chule isn't appropriate over here because we're going to be discussing the statement only and not the next statement, the v'chule. So it tells us you're not letting go mix the sediment, the dregs from one wine into another wine. Adi Gemara says, but you just said right before that, vor amris reisha ein ma'arvim klal. But we just said you're not letting go and mix them at all. So how can you tell me that you are allowed to go and mix these shmarim from this wine with it when you just said ein ma'arvim b'chlal? So the Gemara says, you're going to tell me v'chitema my nosin lo shmarim. What does it mean that you're allowed to go put the shmarim in the wine? The komodale, maybe it means that you're just telling him, and that's why you're allowed to do this. Because without telling him, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So that can't be. Here you're allowed to do this even though you didn't tell him. And why is that? Because in the next part of the Mishnah, Homikitani Sefer, Loyim Karenu Bechonos, Elohim Kane Modio, because it says, in a store, you're not allowed to go tell him you're selling him diluted wine unless you specifically tell him that you're doing so. And we had said, to the wholesaler of a lola tag or afal bishem odia, and to the wholesaler who's selling it to multiple stores who aren't going to taste it each time, so then you're not allowed to tell him, even if you inform him that it's diluted, because he's going to cheat. Now, it specifically said there when you're allowed to sell it when you're telling him, and when you're not allowed to sell it even if you tell him. So it says there specifically when you can sell it by telling him, when you can't sell it by telling him. Thus, in the Reisha, Michlal Dereisha, it didn't say anything about, oh, you can tell him, you don't have to tell him. So Michlal Dereisha, Afa Gavdlo Modale. So the Reisha is talking about, even if you did not inform him, nevertheless, you're still allowed to go and sell him wine that is mixed with its own shmarim. So it doesn't mean that you can only do that if you tell him. So that can't be the Teretz. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda explains Hachikama. This is what our Mishnah is telling us. It's telling us, Ein ma'arv mishmarim shel emesh b'shel yom. You can't sell a wine that you took out the wine from it and you have only the dregs left at the bottom and mix that with a barrel of wine from today. V'lo shel yom, and not from today, b'shel emesh, and mix the dregs from today's wine with yesterday's wine. That you're not allowed to do. However, avonosin lo eshamarv, but you can go and put the wine from today with the dregs from today and sell it to him. And the Brisa says exactly like Rabbi Yehuda the Amora said. Tanya Namihochi, Brisa says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, don't confuse Rabbi Yehuda the Amora with Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. And they both hold the same, but they're two different people, obviously. So Rabbi Yehuda the Amora said, you're not allowed to do that. You can't mix barrel A's dregs with barrel B's different days wine and vice versa. And the Brisa says Beferish as well. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana Omer Hashofe Yayin Lechaveru. If you are pouring out wine for your friend and you do it very slowly, so the dregs are settled at the bottom and you don't give him any dregs, so Hareze Lo Yariv Shel Emesh B'Shoyom. So the person knows that when he buys wine, there's a certain amount of dregs that come with it. So you can't give him yesterday's dregs. You sell him, let's say, the quart. So you fill it up almost to the top of the quart marker, and then you throw in the dregs to go fill it up the rest of the way to the quart. So you can't use yesterday's dregs on today's wine. Velo shel yom b'shel emes, and you can't take the dregs from yesterday and go mix them with today's wine. That you're not allowed to go do. But what you can do is mix today's dregs with today's wine. Avo ma'ariv shel emes b'shel emes b'shel yom b'shel yom. You can take yesterday's wine and mix it with yesterday's dregs, or take today's wine and mix it with today's dregs, even though you poured it off slowly, so there's no dregs in it. But a person knows that when he buys wine, you get a certain amount of the dregs, the shmarim with it, and therefore you are allowed to go and do this with the dregs from that barrel, from that wine, but not from a different day or from a different barrel of wine. Okay. Now we say the next part of the Mishnah, Mishin Isariv Mayim Bieno. If a person diluted his wine, he put in some water into his wine, so then you're not allowed to sell it to the storekeeper unless you tell him. Now here, the Bechule is important because we are going to discuss the rest of this. We said that when you're selling it to the wholesaler, to the Tagar, so then you're not allowed to do this even if you inform him that you're going to dilute it, because we're concerned that he's going to cheat people. Now, one time, Meister Shoya, Ruava, Aisulei Chamra Mechanusa. They bought Rava some wine from the store, and he diluted it, Mazgei and Tame. He diluted it to his normal amount that he would dilute it, and he tasted it, and he found that it wasn't very good. Lo havi bosim. Didn't taste good. So therefore, sent it back to the store. Shadre l'chanusa. Sent it back to the store. So Abaye asked him, how are you allowed to do this? I'm like, Abaye, this guy is going to now go and sell it to someone else, and you're giving him basically diluted wine, and you weren't modiyah to him that it's diluted wine. How could you do this? I'm like, Abaye, we learned in the Mishnah that you're sending it back to this tagar, not an individual storekeeper. You're sending it back to this tagar. The little tagar, avo bishodiyo. Even if you were to go and tell him I diluted the wine, you're not allowed to go and sell it to this tagar, because he's going to go possibly and cheat and sell it to other stores. So how could you do this? So Rava says, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Amalei, Rava says back to Abaye, no, Mizgodidi, my diluting it is a very well-known dilution, and Neida Yediyah, everybody's going to know that this wine is diluted. As Rashi says, Shani Nosin Bo Mayim Harbe. He didn't just dilute it a little bit, he diluted it a lot. Elsewhere we have the Gemara that you could tell that Rava diluted something, because he diluted it in a very certain way. He put in two, some say three parts of water for every part of wine. So therefore, it's very, very, very diluted, and therefore, nobody's going to possibly be misled over here, and therefore, Rava says you're allowed to do this. The whole purpose why we said you can't go sell it to this wholesaler, because he's going to go sell it to storekeepers as undiluted wine, so no storekeeper is going to see this wine and sell it as undiluted wine because it's so clearly diluted in the style that Rava did. Now, Rava says, v'chitema d'tofei u'mechayle. So what are you going to answer back to me? That, okay, I'm going to give him back this diluted wine, but let's say I diluted it to the two-thirds or three-quarters level that I mentioned before, that two or three parts of water for every part of wine. So it's very, very diluted. So what's he going to do? He's going to add in, let's say, one part more of wine. So now it will be still very diluted. It will be either diluted at 50% or be diluted at 75%. He's adding more wine, but he's not still going to tell people that he's doing so, and therefore he's going to be selling them diluted wine. And here it won't be diluted as much as I did because he's adding wine to it, and it won't be recognizable, and it'll be cheating people. So, that he's going to add more wine to it, and therefore my dilution won't be recognizable, and therefore I'm basically allowing him to go and sell diluted wine and cheat people. So, and he's going to go and sell that. So, no. If we're concerned about that, then there's no end to it. As Rashi says, you wouldn't be allowed to sell somebody water because maybe he'll add wine to it. So, you wouldn't be allowed to go sell to this middleman. You wouldn't even allowed to sell him water because he's going to put wine into it and then he's going to sell it as diluted wine and nobody's going to know that. And therefore the rabbis were only concerned at the time, when I'm actually selling to you, if this item as is, if that could be used to cheat people, then the rabbis didn't allow you to do this. But to be concerned that maybe he's then going to do something to it that will cheat people, that far we don't go. Otherwise, then you wouldn't be allowed to sell anything to anybody because you have to be concerned that they're going to go and change it around and sell it as something that it's not really. Finally, we quote the last part of the Mishnah. We said that if you had a custom in a place that they would go and dilute the wines to a certain percentage, so then you're allowed to do this. And the Brisa expands upon this. Tana. The Brisa says, in a place where they've used the diluting it, lemechza, so you're allowed to do it lemechza. Lishlish, if they did it a third, you're allowed to do a third. Lervi, if they did it to a quarter, so then you're allowed to do so, each place according to its custom. And Rav adds, Amar Rav, as we had said before, Ubein Hagito Shadu. These dilutions, however, were only allowed during the actual pressing season because then the dilutions would be recognizable and understandable. But if you were to dilute it at other times of the year, then it wouldn't either be recognizable or understandable. That wasn't the custom. And therefore, you would be cheating people. And therefore, unless you informed them of such, you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah in the Perek Hazov, begins as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda tells us, Lo yichalek hachenvoni kloyos ve'egozim latinokos, mipnei shehu margilon lavo etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do disadvantaging other sellers with marketing ploys. So you have in your store, you have a big sign that says, we give out inducements to have the children come to our store. We give out the inducements in those days were not Pashkas candies. They gave out kloyos, which was like popped corn, and their gozin and walnuts to the children. So come to our store and your kids will be enjoying while you go and shop. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do that because it gives you an unfair advantage. The parents are going to want to go and shop in your store. Who margil and love went slow. And this is an unfair advantage compared to the other stores who don't do this. The Chacham say, no, Matirin, perfectly acceptable. The other stores want to get business, let them put up their own promotions. Let them also give out Kloyos and Egozim. You're not cheating people by doing this. This is a business tactic. They're able to do other business tactics. As the Gemara will say, so you give out Kloyos and Egozim, and they'll give out prunes. Again, telling us a lot about the status of the candy distribution to the children in those days. Try giving out prunes and shul to the kids. This is the candy man on Shabbos, and see your reaction from the kids. So, There are different ways to induce people. In those days, Kloyos and Egozim was a wonderful inducement to get the parents to bring the kids into the store. Now, that's the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues and it says, "Velo yifchos is a shar." Rabbi Yehuda says as well that you can't go and lower the prices on your goods. You can't have sales on your goods because then everybody's going to come to buy from you. And the Chachamim obviously disagree. The Chachamim knows, wonderful. This guy's lowering the prices for everybody because they all want to be competitive. If you're selling your stuff for, 80 cents and they're selling it for $1.20, so everybody's going to come to you. So they'll lower the prices and they'll also sell it for 80 cents. So therefore, you're doing everybody a wonderful thing. Zohar Latov, this guy's doing a good thing for everybody. He's going to be remembered very well because he lowered the prices. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Lo yavor esa grisin. Divrei Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul tells us that you're not allowed to go and clean out the grease. And Rashi says these are pulin beans, gerusos berichayim, that are ground up in a mill. Achas l'shtayim. And by definition, they're broken up in, you break it up into two parts. So you're selling basically half of a grit, half of these pulin. And you're not allowed to go and remove the psoles from amongst them, according to Abba Shaul, because the person is buying from you, and he thinks that there is psoles in there, and you're selling to him for a higher price because there's no psoles in there, and therefore it's not fair. You're cheating the person because you're giving him a smaller amount, or you're charging him more for these greasing. However, the Chacham say that's perfectly acceptable, Chacham Matirim, because you know what? The person is realizing, well, there's the psoles that's missing. I would have had to remove the psoles myself, so I'm willing to pay a premium for the psoles already being removed and having to remove it myself. Now, the Mishnah says, however, umodim, but the Chachamim agree with Abba Shaul, shelo yivor me'al pi ha-megura, she'enu elekigoni v'sa'ayin. What you can't do it is only remove it from the top. So it looks like you're selling him purified grits, these purified grease in these beans over here that have no psoles. But what in fact, all you did was remove it from the top. So he thinks he's buying all the psoles removed, and you just made it look good. He's only removing part of the psoles. And therefore, you're cheating the guy, so that you're not allowed to go do. As Rashi says, you can't go and remove the top part, Elmodim Shlo Yavir Mial Piabagura Lamala, just the top part, Laharos Yofos, to make it look very good. There's a psolus Shabitocha Lobira, but you didn't separate out the psolus inside, and you're cheating the guy. Lefish Eno Elagovid Esa Ayin, because you're cheating him, the Mishnah says, Sheno Elagonid Esa Ayin, because you're deceiving him. He thinks he's getting purified greasing, but he's really only getting the top part removed, but there's still plenty of psolus at the bottom, and he's paying you the premium price for the clean ones, and there's still psolus mixed in over here. And that's basically the content of this Mishnah. It's telling us you can't go and cheat the person in these deceptive ways. And the Mishnah concludes with a similar idea, Ein Mefarchesin. We're going to explain in the Gemara that Mefarchesin means to go and make it look like it's much better than it really is. And you can't do this lo as a adam, not if you're selling an Eved Kenani, the lo as a behema, and not when you're selling an animal. You're not allowed to superficially make it better than it is, low as a kelim. And you can't do this with utensils as well. And the Gemara will give us some examples and details more about this. So we begin the Gemara. Gemara says, "Mai tamai de rabbanon." Why did the rabbi say to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you can give out kloyos and it goes in, it's not a problem. And why did they say that you're allowed to go and lower the prices on the community goods? So we start off with the first part. How come you're allowed to go and give kloyos and it goes into the tinokos? Why did the rabbi say that's allowed? My tamay derabbanan, because the avarle, because this storekeeper who's giving out the kloyos and it goes, who can say, listen, I know mifaligna amguzi, I'm giving out the walnuts to go get the parents who want to bring their kids into the store, and therefore they'll buy in that store. Vyad plige shishki, and you can go give out shishki, which Rashi translates with a foreign language word that sounds like it's prunes. So these are the attractions. These are the way we're trying to get people to come into the store. So therefore, I can do what I do, you can do what you do, and everything is fair. You don't want to do it, so then you suffer the consequences if you don't want to do it, but you can't stop me from doing a promotion like this. Then the Mishnah said, likewise, one person can't go and lower the prices because that's unfair to the other people. And the Chacham said, no, that's perfectly okay. And again, my time of the Rabbanon, why did they, as Rashi says, they're not only disallowed, but it's a very, very good thing. So we turn to Sama Chomet Beis, because Mishum dekom marvach letar, because you're improving the prices. You are making everybody sell it for less. As the top Rashi says, the old Sheperos, Yiru Shehuzlu, the Imkubazol. So everybody sees that the price is lower. So the people are going to sell them at less cost, and therefore everybody's going to gain. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, "Lo yover segrisin divri Abba Shaul." Abba Shaul said you can't go and remove some of the psoles, all of the psoles from the containers. The Chacham Matir v'chulei. The Chacham said you can, and you just can't do it just with the top ones because then you're cheating him. But if you do it with all of it, you're not cheating him. Why did the Chacham say you're not cheating him? Why did Abba Shaul think you're cheating them? Man Chacham, who are the Chacham? This is Rabbi Acha. The Tanya, Rabbi Acha Matir b'davar nira. Because this again is the opinion of the Tanya, Rabbi Acha, who said that as long as it's totally recognizable, like we just brought down. Because if you go and dilute it in a certain way, or you go put kosher in terach, so it's going to be tasted. They're going to go and taste it and be able to tell the difference. So to over here, this is the opinion of Rabbi Acha. He's matir b'davar nira. The guy will see it. There's no psolus over here. So therefore, he's going to know. He's going to pay a premium price because there's no psolus. You're taking it out. then we concluded the Mishnah and we said, "Ein mefakisin lois ha'adam, lois ha'behema, lois ha'kelim." I don't know why it says the v'chul here in the middle. It just could have said es ha'behema, but no, that's sometimes the editors. Nothing to do with the Gemara. So you're not allowed to go and beautify things in a way to cheat people, whether it's with a person, an Eved Kanani, whether it's with an animal, or whether it's kelim. So the Braisa expands on this and gives us examples. Tanu Rabbanan, ein misharbitin ha'behema. The Gemara will explain in a moment what misharbitin means. Rashi tells us that misharbitin means loshon sharbit, like a stick. The first lakam is going to explain in a moment. Shizokev seyar behema, that you're causing the behema's skin to, so to say, the hair on it to stand up and end like a sharbit, like a stick. Shetira shmena, and it makes the animal look more shmena, which is it's a fatter animal, and therefore it looks like it's a better animal, and you'll sell it for more. So you're not going to go do things that will make its hair stand up. The Einovchin Bakirbayim. Likewise, you're not allowed to go and give it stuff to eat, as we'll see in a moment, that will make it, again, its stomach swell up, the intestines swell up, so it looks like it's a more shmena animal. And likewise, Vein Shorin is a boss of mine. You can't take meat that's been shechted and go and soak it in water, as Rashi says, because Shemalbin, it makes it look whiter, fattier. Vakochosh Nira Shamin, it makes the thinner meats look like they're fattier meats. Again, that's considered a better thing that it looks like a fattier meat, not Lavdavka, that we would say that today, but they felt that the fattier meats were better. So therefore, all of these are superficial changes that make the animal look more shmeina than it really is, or the meat look better than it really is, and therefore you're cheating them by selling it at a better price. Now, what does it mean? My ein mishar bitin. What does it mean that you're not allowed to go and make the hair of the animal stand up like a stick? It makes it look shmeina. How do you go and do that? So hacha in Babel Tirgumu, they explained it as Maya de Chizra, that you would go and give the animal Maya de Chizra. Rashi says Mashkin Osa Me Subin, you'd give it some type of a bran drink, and this would swell up their intestines, visara niskaf, and it would also make the hair stand up, and the animal looked a lot shmeina. Ziri Amar Rav Kahana, however, Ziri said over the name of Rav Kahana, a different way to do this, he says, mizak fisa, that you would go and comb it. Rashi says, kirtza, you'd go and comb the hair of the animal, which would make the hair stand up, and this way, again, the animal would look fatter. Now, Shmuel permitted Shara lemirma tume lisarbala. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us that he allowed you to go do this superficial, making it look better, osin lo tiloi michute meshi sovit, which means that you would be allowed to go and attach these silk type of strands to a garment that makes it look more attractive. That's not called cheating. They see that you added these silk strands, so nope, makes it look better. That's part of business, and therefore the person knows that's why I'm paying more money for this. Likewise, Rav Yehuda, the Amor Rav Yehuda, Shari, he permitted you, likas kuse krome. Rashi explains that this means that they would go and put some starch onto their garments. Krome, Rashi says, a begodim hamitsurium, various type of colored garments or garments that have some sort of a design on them, and they would allow them to go and put the meisubin on them in order to make them look nicer, right? A starched shirt looks nicer than a crinkled shirt. Similarly, Rabba would go and Shara lemeidak tsurade. He would allow you to go, Rashi says, lahadek, to hit big day canvas, to hit these flax types of fibers or coats, the makavos eats with sticks of wood, shira chuton dak. It made somehow them look like the threads in this garment were thinner, and that was desirable. But again, you're allowed to go and do this. Rava shara litzalume gire. Rava allowed you to go and litzayir chitzim, to go and put designs or to paint these chitzim in order to make them more, enticing to the person buying them. And likewise, Rapapa Bar Shmuel, he permitted shara litzalume dikule. He allowed you to go and paint these dikule, these salim, these baskets. So all of these things are recognizable, and while they make the item look more attractive, these are all recognizable, and you're allowed to do this. The Gemara says, what we said in our Mishnah, you can't do this. Our Mishnah seems to say you can't go and do all of these things. So how are you allowed to do them over here? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha, it's not a steer to our Mishnah. It depends. All of these things, when they're done to new items, habachadati, it actually says, mutter, this is permissible. She'enu ela liyafos, because these are made to make it look nicer. Varotza lahosif admeyem bishul yofyom mochalu. So since the people know that they're buying a brand new item and they're willing to pay because it looks nicer, so therefore it's not called cheating them. However, Habatike, when the Mishnah said you can't go and do this, because when you beautify these older used items and you make them look like they're new, so then also because you don't put up a sign that they're new, but you don't put up a sign that they're used, and therefore people say, whoa, that looks very nice, it must be new, so therefore you're cheating them when it's brand new. So they know they're buying something brand new, and they know that the paint job and all the other things are done to just make it look more appealing, but they know they're getting a new product. But when you think you're getting a new product and it's really an old product because they just, gave it a new paint job, so then that's cheating, and therefore that's why Mishnah said it's not allowed for an older product, Hobatike, as opposed to the practice of all of these Amoraim was all Bechadati, other brand new stuff, you're allowed to go make it look nice. Then we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to be Mefarchesin, ain't Mefarchesin. So Pirkus to Odomahi, what exactly is talking about making a Eved Kenani into more beautiful? Rashi says it must be talking about an Eved Kenani because you don't sell an Eved Ivri. In any event, Kiha Dahau Abdosaba, there once was an older slave, Eved Kenani, that went to the Ozal and Tzavi L'Reshe L'Dikne, and he went and dyed his hair black, his beard and his hair black, in order to make him look more youthful, so he would be worth more on the slave market, and he went to sell himself. Also, Kami the Rava, he went to Rava, and Amalei Zibnon, and this slave, who was an older man, who was disguising himself as a younger man, went to Rava and said, no, hire me, buy me, and I'll work for you. So Rava told him, Amalei, no, you aniyim b'nei b'secha. Rava responded to this, Eved Kenani, with the following Mishnah from Pirkei Avos, and he says, it's much better for me to go and hire a Jewish help in my house and give a Jew business rather than to go purchase you as an Eved Kenani. So therefore, Rava refused to buy this person. Also, Lekami the Rav Papa Bashmul, but this Eved Kenani went to Rav Papa Bashmul and said, listen, buy me and I'll work for you. And Zabne, and Rav Papa Bashmul bought him. Again, didn't do anything wrong, he bought him. So, Yom Echad Amalei, one day Rav Papa Bar Shmuel said to this Eved Kenani, do me a favor, Ashkai Maya, go get me some water. So, Ozal, what did this Eved Kenani do? He now took off the dye. He got rid of his black dye, and Chavrei L'Reshe Uladikne, and his hair and his beard returned to their normal white color. And now he looked like an older man. So Amalei, and this Eved Kenani, then said to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, you get it for yourself. Chazi de ano kashish me avuch. I'm older than your father. And it's possible for me to go and do such belittling type of labor for you. I'm an older man. And you have to treat an older man nicely, whether he's a yid or a guy. You have to treat him nicely. And therefore, I'm not getting you a glass of water. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel saw that he got damaged goods over here. He saw that he'd been taken in. So Kare Anashi, he said about himself the following pasuk. This is a pasuk from Mishlei, and it says, Tzadik mitzorin nechlots. The tzadik, the person who does everything right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him from all sorts of troubles. Meaning, Rava, who quoted the Mishnah for Pirkei Avos and said, better to hire the Jewish help to give them parnasa. You should hire aniyim to give them parnasa. So he didn't get into trouble by buying this Eved Kenani. Vayavo acher tachtav, and somebody else would go and buy the Eved Kenani. In other words, Rav Papa Bashmul said, I wish I had followed what Rava had done, and instead of buying myself this Eved Kenani, who is really an older person and is not going to be able to do work for me, he basically sold himself on the false pretenses. Okay, with this we conclude Hadron Lechazov, Hadron Lechazov, Hadron Lechazov. We finished a wonderful Berkazov. We had, again, a wonderful named prokim in this Mesechta and Bava Metzia. We started off with Shtayim Ochazin, and then went to Elu Metzios, and then went to Amavkin, and now we did Azov. These are all very, very famous prokim that people learn in their early youth and learn in yeshivas. So these are wonderful prokim, and now we go and begin Ezu Neshech. This is again one of the famous prokem in all of Shas, and this deals, Ezu Neshech, deals with the laws of Ribbis and teaches us how the money works in Halacha and what are the Doraisa laws of Ribbis, what are the Rabbanan laws of Ribbis, and then there's something that's even called Avak Ribbis. It's like the dust of Ribbis. And we begin the beautiful fifth perek, Ezu Neshech. So, what is Neshech? What is what the Torah tells us, that you're not allowed to go do neshech. In other words, you can't go and literally bite people. And the Ezehu Tarbis, and what are examples of Tarbis, where you go and increase your property, your items, at the expense of somebody else, because you're doing it with ribbis, you're doing it with usury, you're doing it with interest. So we'll see, Meshech and Tarbis are similar ideas, albeit the Gemara is going to suggest that maybe there are differences between them, but basically Meshech and Tarbis are synonymous, and they're just looking at it from different points of view. Meshech is taking a bite out of the person that's giving the interest, and Tarbis looking at it from the perspective of the person who's gaining by getting the interest. So the Gemara starts off and tells us, Ezo Neshech, what does Neshech actually include? For example, Hamal v'sele behe dinarim. You lend somebody a sela, which is 4 dinarim, and you get back from them behe dinarim. Or you give somebody sosaim, you give them 2 saw of chitin, sosaim chitin, and they have to give you back 3 saw of chitin. So the Mishnah tells us also, both of these cases, to go and lend somebody 4 and get back 5, to go and give somebody 2 saw of chitin and get back 3, this is aser. Why? You're biting him, so to say. You are causing this person a loss. He only got 4 dinarim, but he has to give you back 5. He only got 2 saw of chitin, but he has to give you back 3. You're biting him, so to say, and it's not permitted. Midaraisa. What is tarbis? The ezehu tarbis. What's an example of tarbis, ribis? Hamar bepeiros. For example, you go and sell peiros and you get more money than they are worth. What does this mean? Ketzad. Lo kachemenu chitim bedinar zohov hakur. So somebody arranged to buy from you wheat at the price of a dinar zohov, a golden dinar, which is 25 silver dinarim, and you're expected to get a core's worth of wheat for that. The chayin hashar, and that was the market price at that point in time. And he did not take the grain, however, he didn't take that core of grain at that point in time. And now the prices went up. Omdu chitin belamid dinarim. And now wheat is not being sold at 25 dinarim, silver dinarim, 1 golden dinar, but it's being sold at belamid dinarim. It's sold at 30 silver dinarim for that amount of wheat. So the price of wheat has gone up. So this person had purchased it for 25, and now when he's getting it, it's worth 30. So amalo tain li chitai. Well, give me my core's worth of wheat. Even though it is more expensive now, I purchased it for you at 25. So even though it's now 30, you have to give it to me at 25. Because kain hashar, it was available at that point as a set price, and therefore that is not called ribis. That's not a problem. So amalo tain li chitai. Give me my wheat. Shani rotze lemochron v'likach ben yayin. Because I want to go and take this wheat that you're selling me, and I want to do business with it, and go and purchase wine. So the person who sold him this car's worth of wheat for 25 says, Amalo, harechi techo asuyo solai b'shloshim. Imagine that I in fact gave you this car's worth of wheat, which is now worth 30. But since you don't want the wheat, you really want wine, v'arei l'cho etzli bohen yayin. So I will give you 30 dinars, silver dinars worth of wine, instead of giving you this car's worth of wheat, which is worth now 30 silver dinar. However, the yayin ain't low, but this guy doesn't have wine at this point in time, and there is no set shar on the wine. So he's now selling him 30 silver dinarim's worth of wine, which he doesn't have, and for which there is no set price. So this is an example of ribis, because, as we'll see, there are two important criteria that have to be met for this not to be ribis when you have a sale, when you're not actually giving the product over right now. Either it has to be the chayin hashar, that the prices are established. So therefore, even though you're not giving it to him right now, he can go get it from someone else because the prices are established and it's available in the market. So therefore, it's as if he gets it right now. And then any subsequent increase in the value is not called that you give him money right now and he's getting more for it later on, which is ribis, that's interest. No, it's as if he has it right now, even though he doesn't have it in his possession, but we view it as if it's in his possession right now, and therefore any subsequent increase in the price, that's just a good business deal. It went up when he owned it. That's number one, the chayin hashar. Or if in fact the prices might not be set, but this seller actually has the produce or the wine or the item in his possession right now, but the buyer just isn't taking possession of it. So since he could have given it to him right now, we view it as if halachically he did give it to him right now. And therefore, any subsequent increase in the price is considered that it went up in the buyer's domain and not that the seller is now giving him something at a higher value than what was actually purchased. So if either one of these two criteria is met, the chayin hashar, or he actually has it, so then there is no concern of ribis. But our Mishnah gave us the case where he didn't have the 30 silver dinarim's worth of wine right now, and the prices weren't set, and therefore that would be awesome. Gemara begins and tells us, Midishavik l'rib is the raisa, v'komafari is the rabbanon. Since the Mishnah starts off and tells us, a din daraisa, in other words, with a halva, and then it gives an example of tarbis, it tells us, instead, an example of a case of ribis the rabbanon, because when you're dealing with items and you're going and doing ribis with an item as opposed to with cash, so then it's midirabbanon. So why did the Mishnah go midishavik the ribis daraisa instead of talking about ribis on a daraisa? It then goes and explains ribis the rabbanon. It's coming to teach us miklal the daraisa neshech v'tarbis chodamilzhi, to show there's no distinction between neshech and tarbis on a daraisa level. Where it says, really, there's no distinction? Well, kroi ksive. They have separate psukim. Neshech kesef, the ribis ochel. So we have different psukim that teach us about kesef and ribis with food. So therefore, on a derais level, they seem to be two separate isurim, and they're not that there's always neshech and ribis together on every single case. Where it says, really? The disbara, you think so? The iko neshech below sarbis? Can you ever have neshech without sarbis? The sarbis below neshech and sarbis without neshech? No. As we'll see, ultimately the Gemara is going to say, it lists them both, so you have two prohibitions, but you never can have one without the other. And again, as I brought down, tarbis is when the person gains money, and the neshech is looking at it from the person who's losing the money. The one who's paying the interest, he's being bitten, and the one who's getting the interest, he's having tarbis. But each isser applies to both, and therefore, we're really going to ultimately say is that there are two isurim over here for every case of interest. At least two, as we'll see, there are many more. And in any event, the Gemara is now suggesting, do you really think that you can have one without the other? Neshech below tarbis, for tarbis below neshech? Neshech below tarbis, yechidami. How could that possibly be that you could, quote, take a bite out of somebody and not yet have the other person gain? So the Gemara says, oh, maybe it's the following case. E de osvei meya de meya the esrim. What you have over here is, for example, Reuven lends Shimon 100, and he expects to get back 120. So he lent him 100 copper coins, copper pennies, and he expects to get back 120 copper pennies. However, meikara kaima meya bidanka. But originally, the 100 prutos, the 100 copper pennies, are worth a danka, which is a certain type of silver coin. A danka literally means a sixth, and it's a sixth of a dinar. So it's a certain type of a silver coin that originally, at the time of the loan, when Reuven lent Shimon the 100 pennies, those 100 pennies were equal to one silver danka. But at the time that the loan was due, it was sold, kaime meya v'esra medanka. But when the loan was actually due to be repaid, the danka was now worth 120 pennies. So therefore, nashech ika, the person who has to pay back, Shimon is bitten. He originally borrowed 100 prutos, and now he has to get back 120 prutos because we use the danka as the means of exchange, as the danka is the amount that was borrowed, and the danka has to be repaid. But he got 100, and he has to pay back 120 copper pennies. So neshechiko, he's being bitten. The karnokasle, because he is losing. He had got 100, and he pays back 120. The karshakumine mide de lo yod, in that he has to give to Reuven 120, which is more than he got. He only got 100. However, Reuven isn't gaining. Bitarbis leka. Reuven, granted, he gave 100, but at that point it was worth a danka. He's getting back 120. At that point, it's worth a danka. The less lay revocha. So he's actually not gaining on the deal. And therefore, one might have suggested, or one might have thought, in this situation, that you only have neshech, but you don't have ribis. The danka osvei, the danka koshakubine. Because Reuven lent a danka, essentially, albeit it was 100 copper pennies, but he got back a danka, albeit now it's 120 pennies. From his point of view, he didn't gain anything. Whereas from Shimon's point of view, he got bitten. He got 100, but he had to pay back 120. So this looks like a case where there could be neshech without ribis. Where says, no. Bottom line, sof. Ibasa mikara azles, hari neshech, hari tarbis. No. If you look at it from the original rate of exchange, so it was 100 copper coins, hot copper pennies for this one silver danka. And at the end, it's now 120 for one silver danka. So, if you want to look at it from the point of view of the pennies, hari neshech, hari tarbis. So, he got bitten, he got 100, he had to pay back 120, but if you look at the point of the ribis, so then Reuven gave 100 and got back 120. And if you want to look at it from the point of view of the silver, ibasa b'sof azlis, well, it was a danka versus a danka. So then, lo neshekik v'lo tarbisika. So then it's neither one. If you look at a point of view from the pennies, if you look at any point of view from the silver, then either they're both getting interest problems. The person, Reuven, got back 120 for the 100 if you're looking at it from the copper point of view, and Shimon had to pay 120 even though he only got 100. If you're looking at it from the silver point of view, Reuven gave a danka, got a danka. Shimon got a danka, paid a danka. So then there's both Neshech and Ribbis, or there's neither Neshech and Ribbis. So therefore, that can't be the case. Verse says, furthermore, Besu, Tarbis below Neshech, Hechidami. How could you ever have a case of Tarbis without Neshech, that one person gains and the other person is not being bitten? You're going to tell me, the Osef Neya B'Neya. You're telling me that Reuven lent Shimon 100 pennies and he got back 100 pennies. Now, Meikara Kaimen Neya B'Danka. And originally the pennies were worth one danka, 100 pennies worth one danka. Ulbasof Meya B'Chumsha. And now at the end, they're worth 100 of these pennies are now worth a chomesh, which is a fifth of a silver dinar. Not a sixth of it, but it's now worth a fifth of a dinar, which is more than a danka. So in this situation, are you want to tell me, well, Reuven, he got increased because he's getting back a fifth instead of a sixth. And, well, Shimon, he paid him 100 copper coins. He got 100 copper coins. So from Shimon's point of view, he's the same. So therefore, you want to tell me there's no neshech, but there's only ribbis? So Gemara says, again, the same exact thing. If you're looking at a point of view of pennies, then it's the same for both of them. If you're looking at a point of view of silver, it's the same for both of them. You can't just switch around, have one look at it pennies and one look at it from silver. Ebos, if you're looking at it, the original rate, it was 100 copper coins for a danka, the one silver coin, so then lo neshech ikah v'lo tarbis ikah. Then there is no Neshech or Tarbis, because he gave him 100 copper coins, and he got back 100 copper coins. He bought silver azels. If you're looking at it from the silver point of view, well, he gave him a sixth, and he got back a fifth, so then, Hari Neshech, Hari Tarbis. So then, Shimon now had to pay back a fifth instead of the sixth that he got, and in fact, Reuven is getting a fifth instead of the sixth that he gave. So again, if you're looking at it from the point of view of the copper, you're looking at the point of view of the silver, either they both have Neshech and Ribbis, or they have neither Neshech or Ribbis. And therefore, Rava says, Elo Omar Rava, it's impossible to have one without the other. Whenever the person who's paying the interest is being bitten, so the one who's getting the interest is gaining, and vice versa. So you can't have one without the other, Rava says. And the whole purpose over here is the Torah writing, don't take Neshech and don't take Tarbis, is to teach us that there are two Lavim, at least two Lavim involved over here. There actually are more, as we'll see later on in the Gemara. And that is the point of having the two Lashonos of Neshech and Tarbis. This is a good break point. With this, we'll conclude today's shir. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. I'm dictating this right before Shabbos HaGadol. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos HaGadol, and everybody should have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. There'll still be a couple of Shiurim before Pesach, but Yemei Tzeshem, never too early to wish all of my listeners a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.